offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha, homage to all who are approaching this holy path, homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate nirvana that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi tatiampi salaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning? Melinda.
Well, I've been looking at what seems to be what happens for me, that conditioning has a variety of default settings.
Default settings.
Yes, but over time it has established, and so I got into something this morning that had a tinge of urgency to it. Mm-hmm. And what I watched was the tendency when there's something like that to go to the conditioned default setting. Mm-hmm. This is what you do, this is what... But it's conditioning that has established the steps.
So you watched, instead of just being available to whatever life might present in that moment, there's a conditioned, programmed response when a certain kind of situation arises.
Yeah, and so it seems fairly clear that the trick in practice, and it's what I think practice guides us to do, is to switch to a different default. To switch to the present moment as the default. But being aware that it's necessary to see that that's what happens, and then to really practice the coming back to the moment, mm-hmm. in whatever way we're practicing that, so that that becomes the default.
Yeah, it's not the going to the default that's a problem at all. It's just being present enough to watch that process happening and being able to choose a different...
Yeah, choose is probably the most operative word here. Yeah, so when it's something that needs an immediate response, the immediate response is to get here and be informed by what the moment needs rather than what the voices make up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cameron.
I've been looking at that too. Something happened recently that it was like a sudden change that came out of the blue, and I watched a conditioned response arise in response to that. That was just like a tape recorder, you know, you push the button play and then this whole thing starts, you know. And I watched the pull of it. I watched some part or parts really believe the translation that this thing happened and it means this. And that comes with all these bodily sensations that mean you're not going to survive. And fortunately, I was able to, or somebody, you know, somebody who wasn't the person having the experience was able to be there watching it.
So watching the situation present itself and being there present enough to really see the programming that goes with that particular set of stimuli or, you know, and to just watch it, the pull, the sensations, the wanting to act in a particular way. And, but just, it sounds like just being able to watch it in a bit of a detachment, standing back and watching what this being was going through.
There was, it was interesting how the body was feeling what the body was feeling, the conditioning, but some part was able to be detached enough to be aware of what was going on and to recognize this as something that has happened over and over and over again. The same reaction, the same story, the same sensations, even though the person that is here now is so different, has had so many experiences that she knows so much, she's aware of so much, she's had so many experiences that are contrary to this, and yet this trigger just sets the whole thing off.
I thought you were going to say with that, even though it's happened over and over and over again, it's like if that happened and that over and over and over again, but there wasn't someone there observing it, it would all feel new again.
It was really real.
Like it was really real. This never happened again, even though you can see that this is like just like a replay, a rerun of something that's happened many times.
Yeah, and having that distance from it allowed me to allow some, you know, a different part of me or my authentic self, I don't know, just really watch it and then. I'm taking an email class, so there was an assignment. And so I just took this whole thing, you know, and made it a workshop and saw so much. And, you know, we were having a conversation recently here in the meditation hall where Sherry was talking about how there is no continuity through time. You know, how we are not... There is nothing in us that continues through time. We arise in the moment. And I thought, here's this conditioned thing, though, that has happened since I can sense it all the way back as far as 2 years old, and I can see it happening all the way through 66 years. And so I was thinking, gosh, maybe that's why it's so hard to give up these conditioned patterns, because we want so desperately for there to be something that carries through.
Right.
And it seems like the karma is the only thing that carries through. So maybe that's what compels us to hang on to it. I don't know, that was sort of going to my head after the fact. But it just felt like now I feel like having really seen it, and I really get now that I can bring some behavioral change to that that knee-jerk thing. There's so many things in it now that are going to just flag. You know, the sensations, the story, the whole thing, you know, I've seen it. And so, knock on wood, I can really, you know, just remember in the moment and then, you know, the start a new synapse pathway for some new behavior to override this boom thing that happens.
It reminds me of the peace quote recently that was by Ashwini.
Yes.
That without a change in behavior, there is no change in consciousness.
Right.
And it's something we have been focusing on lately in the monastery.
That's why it came up in my looking here. It was just right. It was just right around to see, oh, this is an example of that.
Yes.
Because all the times that I've had this experience, I've actually experienced it but never seen it from a distance.
Yeah.
I have been it, and it has been, I've just survived every time. You know, I've survived it, and it's over. And so I feel like really excited about the next time it will happen, because I know it will. And that if I can bring a change in behavior when that happens, so that I can you know, perhaps embrace the parts of me that have had to experience that for so long, and actually really, really believe it's true.
Yeah.
The story that, you know, the meaning that comes as a result of this whole experience. Mm-hmm.
That is exciting.
It is. It really is, because it has run this being's life totally. I mean, I see it kind of like, I mean, I know there's probably a lot of base karma, you know, things, but this one's been there just determining a lot of really keeping me feeling, believing in a separate self. Mm. Which intellectually and even experientially I know is not true, but this thing is still hardwired in there, and we're going to get out the wire cutters.
That's great. I was just seeing it, and I don't know if this will make any sense, but it's like, you know, that there's no continuity in this being, where our cells are whole, you know.
Yeah.
Everything we're made of is just transforming moment by moment, you know, and to think that we're still that same young part, but, you know,
just got an older body.
Right, just got old, it's just, you know, so crazy. And yet when that conditioned response comes up, what it does is it takes us back to that place, that really young, you know, what, at that point in time when this configurations of cells experienced that whatever it was, trauma or experience, and hardwired that. And it's as if when it happens again, everything just, you know, forms around that younger experience. And
I
think it's...
it's very curious. I just don't know really if that hardwiring is really an accurate description of it.
Uh-huh.
But there is something that is like a whole thing that... That whatever the trigger is, the whole thing comes
just
up.
Just comes into being.
It just comes into being. Yeah. It's somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
She's right there.
Yeah.
And she's having that same experience over and over again. And now the opportunity is like to just be present when that's happening and bring compassion to it. And like you said, just, you know, snip that
each
karma.
Time, probably having a little different relationship with it probably erases some of those. You know how they talk about it in neuroscience, how there's a synapse path that things follow, you know, or roots and stuff. So maybe over time it just kind of, you know, pink erasers the. But to me, it feels like it's not even so much just going back to the beginning of it in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it might be just one of those karmic things that, you know, however lucky we are to get the pieces we get. That seems like one that might have been around for a really, really lots of countless, maybe even.
Yeah, and I know I'm going to badly misquote this, but it reminds me, I remember reading something Sherry said about, you know, what an incredible focus or life to lead, to just be there, to bring into compassion all of that that arises. I mean, if we just spend our whole life just doing that, bringing compassion to those wounded parts as they arise, it's like, there's what else is there to do?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful image.
It is.
You know, you think of a mother bird just putting her wings around the little tiny ones, or those Indian storytellers with all those kids on their lap. All that kind of warm, embracing kind of acceptance. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just no greater work to be doing.
Yeah. And I can see that as that person that gets that whole experience, and that if I'm it and not able to be the one that can embrace it, there's just no chance for that person to ever break out of that that terrible suffering.
Yeah, what a terrible place to be in that suffering without anyone to hold
compassion. And you just go over and over again to this place of just feeling completely separate.
Yeah.
Yeah. No more.
No more. Thanks to this practice.
I like that mantra that Sherry suggested the other night. Not me.
Not me.
When those conditioned things arise. Not me.
Yeah. Penny.
Yes.
Yes. Always a great place to start.
I'm just resonating with everything that's been said because I've had this exact same experience of this old conditioning coming up in the last couple of weeks. And I suspect it's partly due to the assignment, the prerequisite for mixing up classes, 8 days of no selfie. So I decided to start it, of course, so the conditioning. And I've been watching that same process of this old karma, mm-hmm. this old deep, mm-hmm. and it comes up as you know, part of the difficulty. I mean, one part I saw, and I was in that place that Sherry says is the best place of all, which doesn't always feel like it, which is you're identified and you can see that you're identified, and so you can watch that identification. You're kind of in and out of it, and. And I would pull out of it, and then what that condition would say is, but it's so obviously true, you know. And so, you know, how can you step out of it, because it's so obviously true. And for someone internally, it is. And I was just seeing how the only thing you can do is just drop it. I mean, any engagement with it, and you're sunk. Mm-hmm. Because any engagement with it means you're taking it seriously.
Yes.
And you're believing it.
Yes, you're buying that it's so obviously true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had this neat experience this morning. So I'm doing the 30-day retreat, and the particular day I was on, interestingly, in the last couple of days, it's been the days where it's like, you know, what are the voices say to you about who don't want you to do the commitment? What's the judge saying? What are the voices saying that accuse you of all your crimes and misdemeanors? And I thought that's exactly what was going on. So it was sort of an interesting process to look at. And this morning, so what I was being pointed to, I realized in the last period of time was it's not so much that they're identified as crimes, they're identified as failures.
Mm.
But failure is a crime.
I was going to say, that can equal, crime equal failures.
Yeah, and there were failures in the sense of focus, or failures of achievement, or failures of living up to one's potential. And that's an old thing that, you know, that's been a theme for a long time. And because I sort of jump from thing to thing in my life, and I'm told that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so this really neat thing happened this morning. I was doing this particular ritual, which we had learned, and in the midst of it, what just popped in from the mentor, I'm sure, was just love this person. Just love this person as she is. And I felt that. And I thought, and it was like, how great that this person jumps around from thing to thing. How great that this person loves to do a million different things. And it was such a transformation, you know. And I think that, in a way, that's the only way it can happen.
Yes.
You know, there was no arguing with,
yes.
with the karmic position. It was just, let's just move over here.
Yes, and ultimately, I mean, what greater love is for this person than to drop the story?
Drop the
you
story.
Know, to just really be here with her.
Yeah, and what was interesting was it was not volitional on my part to do that. I didn't start to do this ritual and think, okay, now I'm going to reconfigure. You know, it just popped in.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things where, you know, the kind of observing it, being caught in it, but being as present as I could be opened the door for that kindness to come in. I couldn't have made it happen, but I was available for it to happen.
Yeah, it just sounds like you're really available for life to just come through in that moment. And.
Mm-hmm.
Present the information that you needed to hear.
Yeah. And then one other little piece of it was really fun. So in the email class, the particular track, I mean, we had to do an assignment, we had to do a practice thing every day. And so I went back to How You Do Everything, the book, that I've been doing an assignment most days. And so this morning, it was describing a favorite animal. And so I just started writing, you know, and I described this horse running across the pasture, leaping the fence, and running off across the meadow into the mountains or into the hills, and all the qualities of that horse. And what was interesting was it was clear to me that the horse wasn't escaping. The horse was just running. And it wasn't like it was leaving the pasture forever. It was just running over here for now. And it couldn't come back. And somehow that felt connected. It's like, it felt like in what, in the message I got this morning, was like it allowed me to leap over the fence into a different place. Mm-hmm. You know, the boundary of this is how you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like that. It felt like just leaping over that and running off into a different place, free of that, but not having to reject it in a way. You know, just we're running over here now. So anyway, it all felt like a big gracious piece of what happened, something that happened this morning. That's along the lines of what was being described earlier.
And that it just sounds in that description of the running. It's just like a beautiful description of freedom. You know, just being able to run free and without rejecting that person or anything, you know, to be able to revisit it and you know, just what comes to be able to revisit it with new eyes.
Yep.
And again, coming back to and hold it in compassion.
And what also is one of the things that occurred to me was I remember when I was little, one of my strongest memories of being little was of running, just running as fast as I could and as hard as I could, and I loved it. And I think that is viscerally for me an experience of freedom. And so it's interesting that that should have been the image that came out this morning.
Well, I sure hope you got the tweet the other day saying the next time you come to a wide open space, run as hard and fast as you can.
I probably did, but I haven't looked at it yet.
Thank you.
Well, I was just having an experience this morning, actually, while we were sitting, of appreciating practice as a, in a way, a required behavior change.
Because practice is a required behavior change.
Yeah, because, you know, I have this, one of these really karmic things we've been talking about this morning that I actually chose to take on this year. And, oh my God, you know, Chad, you choose to take something on and just have it thrown in your face 10 times more than it ever was. And my particular one comes with enormous body sensations that are so real that it's really hard to, when those voices get going about them, to say no, you know, not listening. So
the physical sensations are so intense that it makes it much harder to drop the story about what they mean.
Yeah. And for a while this year, it was confining them to the nighttime, and now it's just decided any time of day is fair game. So anyway, in the email class, the assignment that we most recently had to come up with as many solutions for our problem as we could, and to check in with all parts of us who had something to say about it. And they all had great ideas. You know, we have many solutions now for what to do when these voices arise. And just coming down here this morning, the sensations started in, and I sat down on the cushion before we were waiting to sit, and it was just like, I can't stand this. I cannot sit here. If I sit here for a half an hour, I will die. And, you know, and it's just, and then I thought, but, you know, I'm sitting here. What am I going to do? You know, we're supposed to sit here. And one of the littlest parts of me, when I had checked in with, you know, what are the solutions to this problem, she said, when that happens, let's just sit together and breathe together. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, here we are. So she and I just sat here and breathed together, and you know, we sat right through it all.
You know, it's obvious you didn't die.
We didn't die. The sensations are kind of still there, but not like they were. You know, and you know, I think if I hadn't been here, where not only was that her idea, but it was the guidance to stay in your cushion and sit here, I probably would have, you know, gotten up and said, I can't stand this, and what am I going to do about this? And but just having to stay there, you know, just sitting through it, you know.
Boy, just what a great example of burning through karma, you know, to just, and knowing that if you would have not had the support, both, you know, of the guidelines of the meditation hall and the internal support to just sit, that the karma would have just been reinforced by getting up and running, trying to run from the experience.
Trying to dissipate it in some other way, you know. And, you know, I've often seen that the only way those voices are going to go away is to just sit through them. And yet, to have the discipline to just do that on my own, sometimes yes, sometimes no, you know. But to be in a place where that is what we're doing anyway. Was pretty helpful.
Boy, that, and what came up for me too is just how this is the hero's journey. That takes just so much courage to sit through an experience like that and not move, to just be with it. When everything in us is just crying for distraction.
I came across the phrase somewhere this week, stretching the heart. And it feels like sitting through that kind of thing does that. You know, it just makes it a little bit bigger.
Just makes our hearts bigger. Bigger to encompass more and more that wants to arise. Needs to arise. Thank you. June.
Talking about it again. A couple of, in the email class, a couple of the groups were assigned. One was assigned to write a love letter, and the other was assigned to write another love letter.
The second one, yes.
And this eye over here just has a really hard time with that. And the first time in email class, love letter was written and recorded and never listened to. And then the second time, which was the other day, there was just no willingness to do it. And then at one point during one day, the sense of grace descended and picked up the recorder, didn't have to write it, just a really quick love letter. And a little while later, another one, very short and very heartfelt and very, very kind of no resistance. And I listened to them both ones. I has listened to them both ones and just cannot do it again. And so I've been recording about what that is instead of just forcing. And it's just, it's so confusing for me because I'm obviously looking to the conditioned mind for answers. It seems like there are different elements. One, I suspect, is the being an Enneagram 9. There's a very strong karma to be self deprecating. And so, to love this person, it, oh my God, there's just such an inner cringe. to her, mm-hmm. the words, I love you. Mm-hmm. So it's just, oh my God, what a load. it's
Have you, I don't know, this came up, but have you done any, like two chair or just talking to this person that just two that cringe?
Two chair.
That's the same.
If I haven't, if I had a pen, I would write two chair in my hand because it can get me to forget to do two chair.
It would be interesting to see, to have a conversation with a cringer and see if there is somebody, you know, if who that is.
Yeah. Well, yes. I've been looking at that. I have a strong suspicion is, you know, as kids, I want to fit in, mm-hmm. want to make sure I know what is and is not cool. Mm-hmm. And so I have a meter. There is a meter for what is and is not cool. And writing with my teeth like those two, so just falls way up on the inside. And I'm feeling the part of me who wants to get this right, mm-hmm. who wants to get rid of all this. Mm-hmm. Get it cleared up, the normal Zen student who can write love letters to herself and mm-hmm. just wallow in the glory. it's just
sounds like there's a certain amount of resistance to the that resists the love letters.
You think?
You know, what's interesting to me is that there was an I or someone that absolutely did not want to do the love letter the second time. But then those two, not one, but two love letters arose spontaneously, extremely heartfelt. And then it sounds like that same I didn't want to listen to them again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And an identification here who doesn't want to be with the man,
yeah, yeah.
who wants to get this figured out, mm-hmm. and be the right person, mm-hmm. and have the right experience.
Mm-hmm. Is there acceptance for her?
In this moment there is, because I've only just seen, kind of, mm-hmm. seen it from that angle. So just talking about it's really good. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. it will or it won't continue to be a place of practice.
When you say thank you for listening, you know, this is what comes up. What a contribution it is for all of us to hear this, because boy, you know, can't we all identify with that part? But, you know, sometimes I pick up the recorder and I think, if my friends could see me now, they think I really went over to the other, you know, I really went over to the other side.
Oh, that's it doesn't. It just revealed, and something was just revealed. No, there's no one else involved. Mm-hmm. There's no aspect of that for me, of my friends, the other people who would think. It's all happening right here.
It's all inside. Uh-huh.
And it's just. It's just. The dilemma has basically been, is there a child here to rescue? Uh-huh. Or is this just self-hate corrupting the whole thing? And I can feel both happening. Uh-huh. I think there's both things going on. But it's all right here. There is nothing else. There's no one else involved. Uh-huh. And I won't figure it out.
There's somebody that really wants to figure this out. Just arose as what would be there if it all fell away. What is that experience that,
How would I be if all of that fell away?
Yeah.
I suspect that self-hate has something else in the queue.
Exactly.
Talking, I was thinking about real children.
Uh-huh.
And I had an experience last night. What I noticed, and so I think it's true for myself, so that cringe.
Mm-hmm.
So David was cringing last night.
David, your son?
Yeah.
He's cringing.
So he's 8. And so I noticed, like, they just respond differently. So I've learned with myself the same thing. So David was in the cringe. He was upset. And he didn't want me to touch him. He didn't want me to be near him. You know, I'm saying my reassurances. I'm being the loving bird that was described. He's not responding. And what I realized was, wow, this is not what is called for in the moment. What's called for in the moment is for me to go to the bathroom because I need to go to the bathroom. Take a little break. The bathroom. Pretty soon. Mom. So it's just interesting to be present to our own subpersonalities. Because I also have the cringe. I know I've recorded the letters in the two previous classes. I don't know if I actually ever listened to them. Maybe once or twice. But what I did is, because I would rationalize it. Oh, you know, I've done this 100 times. I mean, how many retreats have I been on? And how many, you know, because I...
It's a variation. I know it.
Exactly. But either way, it's the same thing. It's taking me away from doing it. Mm-hmm. Because somebody inside doesn't want to, can't tolerate it. Mm-hmm. And talks me into it. You know, whether it's that sickening dread cringe, which sometimes can take me out of doing it, or anxiety. You know, it just uses whatever's going to work. Mm-hmm. And I, it seems like just when I learn to stay with the breath with one thing, say anxiety, and then I see through it, and then it poofs over to shame. You know, self-hate is just, it's just going to use, and then it's going to tell me I'm unique. You know, everybody else is a perfect Zen student doing the class perfectly and listening to the note every day. Bliss is out. I'm so glad it was shared that was not someone's experience, because we can really believe that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Everybody's doing it perfectly but me. Mm-hmm. So before you know it, why come? Why try? Why sign up? Mine was a gift this time. I made it good. But, you know, why sign up? Why participate? Oh, it's not that. You know, it just starts to take us out of...
It's interesting that everybody that's doing it perfectly never shows up in the interviews. They're out there doing it perfectly. Exactly.
Well, and I was thinking as June was talking, let's face it, who are we listening to a lot of the time? Monks. And Sherry, as a teacher, as a master. You know, if we were in the room with regular old email participants, maybe we would hear something. We're like with the most dedicated crew here. So, anyway, that was one thing I was looking at. But I was sort of, I've been looking at, I'm trying to make a decision about something. And this is so, I'm a six. Self-doubt is like the thing that, you know, the baseline conditioned response. And asking other people, what do you think? And trustworthy people, like really trustworthy people, but that really care, you know, wouldn't exactly say, don't do it. And trying to see is so... so tricky.
Trying to see that what's going on from a...
I meant when I said that, trying to see the way to proceed.
Oh, trying to know the answer?
Yeah. Know the right answer, my
friend. Right answer.
Let's face it. Let's just put it out there. Conditioning wants to know the right answer. And I see, as I say that, that, of course, there is no right answer. It's sort of how I am with myself. Because it's interesting that both answers are going to produce a somewhat similar impact in the body, because it's still me doing the, you're not the right person, not the right mom, not the right Zen student, not the right wife, not the right whatever.
Not the right decision.
So, well, as a result of either decision, I sense that there's going to be a backlash. So if you're somebody like me, you just wait until there isn't a decision. You can't sign up anymore, you can't go, or you can't participate, or whatever it is. Because there is a deer-in-the-headlight paralysis about needing to make, the right decision. And what I notice is, I had this experience that I described to one person in the group. I haven't been in the group since I flew on an airplane last Sunday. And I flew on a 4-hour flight where they never turned the seatbelt sign off. And so I don't love to fly. I like to fly. If it's smooth.
It's kind of got that air of the right answer. If everything, you know.
Yes, if everything goes right, I can relax into it. Smooth sailing.
Yeah.
But this was a very bumpy airplane flight, and there was no alternative. The way somebody was describing earlier about sitting down on the cushion, you know, I'm here.
Yeah.
And they sense, you know, I really don't, not giving myself a choice. Well, I'm on this airplane. And it's a 4-hour flight, and we're like maybe into 45 minutes of it. And then we're into an hour and a half, and it's getting really clear, you know, because he said it was going to be bumpy on the beginning and the end, and the middle and even out. Well, we're getting to the middle, and there's no evening it out. And I had my recorder, and I had a meditation, you know, just a sitting meditation on there. And then I had sitting still, you know. Sitting still that we have in the guest book here. I had it recorded. And I had some from a session last year. I didn't have my current recorder. So I started listening to sitting still over and over and over and over and over and over. You know, it's only 6 minutes. It's like 5 minutes, 49 seconds or something when you record it. That's pretty quick. And after maybe I was 2.5 hours in, I hit that place of freedom.
Wow.
Nothing changed. I think it got bumpier. I mean, it kind of started doing this, and as it was doing this and really bouncing, I was like, wow, you know, just bouncing along. And so I was watching, though, within the freedom. So there I am. And I mean, I had my whole posture. I'm like leaning forward with my head, you know, the little things here, and I'm listening and I am concentrating on sitting still and breathing and sitting still and breathing. All the attention. You know, but I went through the whole thing of, it first started with, when I get to Los Angeles, I'm going to tell Andrew I won't be home, and I'm taking the train, and I'm never flying again. You know, all the stuff we do. Okay, well, this is crazy. I am going to die. You know, my poor kids. You know, I just, practice doesn't work. I am breathing, nothing's happening. I'm still feeling anxious. Not anxious, I think I'm going to die. I'm just, like, terrified. So, no other option, right? Just focus all of the attention. I have at least an hour and a half, and I think 2 hours, on this airplane, and I can either have a heart attack because I'm panicking, or I can really see if it is possible to practice and to see through this thing. And as I was practicing, got to that place, I mean, it was gone. It was gone. Like the, I don't know why it was gone, but it was gone. So I would watch this tendency to leave that, and it would it was similar to what Penny pointed at it perfectly with her words, which I couldn't, when she said it's exactly what I found, but something about it would be this: I am sitting in freedom and peace and joy, like enjoying the bumps. Truly, like, oh, this is like an amusement park ride. I mean, it was completely weird. So, and then there was maybe you should just see what it's like out there again. Watch the movie. There was this weird Return of the Apes movie on. No. I couldn't even distract myself with the movie. Everybody would have me sleeping. I mean, there was no alternative but to do what I was doing. And I just thought, why? But I could see so clearly that if I left for a second, the plane's still bumping, and I'm going to start believing it once again. Yeah. I mean, there is no time to indulge conditioned mind right now. Because if I indulge it, it's really a lot of work to get back. Because it felt as if I was going through layer after layer after layer of conditioning. You know, just the breath. And then I would hit a layer. Nope, no time. Just the breath. And finally there was that, wow, my relationship with the bumps has completely changed. The only reason it's changed is because I've done what I'm doing, and now it is telling me that what I should do is not this. I should do that in order to feel this way. You see what I'm saying? Because you can see my hands. Sorry, tape recorder. So the thing that fascinated me after that with practice is kind of what I was pointing out, that the next thing comes up. So it worked with anxiety. Well, now I'm going to give you overwhelm. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to give you, you've got too much to do, and you're a terrible parent, mom is where it gets me with this, and you never see your kids, and it just starts pounding on me again. But I'm believing it, because it's just what I, you know, it's just what we do. So I go, oh yeah, that's right, I am, and I should, and then I read that chew thing, you know, if you've bitten off more than you can chew well or something. What does it say? Did you guys read it today on the board? Well, it's posted in there on the board. If you've bitten off more than you can chew well or something. And to me, what that points at is, come back here. So I felt a little poof with that story, you know, the bad mom story. Too busy. But there is, it's just curious to me that when it's really, really bad, there is a complete willingness. When it's suffering, when I'm just in pure suffering and it's clear, there's no alternative. It is like a gift.
Absolutely.
It's like a gift. It's like how I used to feel living here, scared all the time. All the time. No alternative but to come here, because clearly... So trying to give myself the support, which clearly I have a lot of support, you know, living near the monastery and participating in the class and all that, meditating a lot, but continue to give myself the support to practice in that way, even if the suffering is mm-hmm. not as obvious. Because it's still creeping in. It's still so the decision I have to make is whether to go on the retreat or not, mm-hmm. the New Year's retreat. Mm-hmm. And what it tells me is, you already went on a retreat this year, mm-hmm. 7 days. Mm-hmm. And then and you've been really busy. And some of this, you know, is actually correct information. So I have been super busy with work and not had a lot of time, and I would like to spend time. Truth is, I would like to spend time. And then there's only certain slots of time because of the choices I made in my life about work and private school obligations that require me to do that. So there is some things that set up. So how to practice with. And there's also a belief that I can only be free if I go on the retreat, and, which is a tricky place because my mom, I practiced with it last Thursday night. My mom came in town that day and I wanted to come to the monastery. She had just flown in, yeah, I've seen her. She drives in like at 5:30 and there was so much resentment about not getting to come. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I just let go into not coming, I could connect with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that's what the monastery prepares me to, is to chew whatever's in front of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I've known all week that I'm committing to her coming in and I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. But it takes even practice and mm-hmm. twists it. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not really a good Zen student. You know, mm-hmm. you got duped. Mm-hmm. Self-hatred duped you into not coming to the monastery. Well, self-hatred could have duped me into coming. In this, you know, some, I mean, yeah, it's a tricky place to practice, but in that situation, it really felt that way. I don't quite think it's... I think it's the two ways I try to figure things out. Self-hate has both of them. It's going to dupe me out of coming, and it's going to dupe me into coming. And what I think I need to do is not look at, try to figure it out from either one of those perspectives. Because both of those have self-hate on the ends of them.
Right.
There's a perspective that's here where it doesn't really matter what I choose. You know, go or don't go is kind of what I've found with here. And oh, it's clear that this time you're going to go like it was in June. Yeah, it's clear. Yeah, it's clear. Mm-hmm. Everything's moving you in that direction.
And life is just moving.
Life will move it again and make it available. And if you're present, you'll see it. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to figure it out mm-hmm. in either one of those perspectives, egocentric karmic conditioning is going to manipulate the information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's turning our attention to it to get mm-hmm. information. And you know what was just so beautifully presented, or you know, in the airplane ride, is you know. I say all that is required, not that isn't really difficult. Right. Is to focus our attention.
Yes. You know?
And as you demonstrated, just focus, being able to focus your attention completely, totally, and absolutely.
Yes.
And
the thing that was key to me is, and this is it. This is life. This is it. You know, that sitting still, this is it. This is God right now. Mm-hmm. You know, is the way. Mm-hmm. And so the same with, stay right here, Susan. This is it, and you will see. But practice really hard with this, mm-hmm. or you're going to miss it. Mm-hmm. So be at the monastery when you're there. Mm-hmm. Go up the road to your house. Be present with your mom. Mm-hmm. This is it.
And not miss any of it. And how, you know, conditioning just wants the minute you're in that place of freedom.
It wants me to go out into angst again.
Exactly.
Because it tells me going out into angst is going to provide some information to make me feel better, forgetting that I actually feel good right now.
Right. And I don't need your help, thank you very much.
Exactly! But before I know it, I'm like, lol, oh yeah, you know, this isn't it. This isn't, that's going to lead me to something more clear. Yeah, so it's so helpful. It just reminds me of what I thought when I first started practicing. I thought if I sit enough, I'll gain wisdom. But what I meant by that was, then I'll know stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I've only learned is how to come back, that I know nothing out there.
You don't want to know stuff.
You're not going to know stuff by sitting from here. No matter how long we sit, mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to figure something out. Mm-hmm. Because all is fine right here. Mm-hmm. If we're right here, and my head says, well, if I just stay here, then I'm going to miss the retreat. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I haven't practiced staying here. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Let's see what life has. You know,
and this can be a retreat right here. You know, what ego does is tell me, oh, when you get on retreat, mm-hmm. whew, you get disidentified and blah, blah, blah. Well,
it's
wait
more
a minute.
Of that standing out totally. Here.
So
saying,
leave to here to think about when you go on retreat so you can disidentify rather than just disidentify. So anyway, just been looking at that. So helpful to hear people talk and to know I'm just not crazy and no different. And no matter how old we are, we're still going to be, you know, I thought when I turned, I don't know, 33, like, Jesus, I'm just low. Now I'm 44 and I'm hearing from people who are 66, and so, that's all. Thank you. Thank you.
And it is so helpful to hear what people say, because it was just listening to what was just shared. I could just watch what went on here as mm-hmm. the other person was sharing. And so during the whole talk about how bumpy the airline flight was, you know, I was right in that, oh my God, I would have died. I could, you know, I went right to the anxiety part, and then listening to the just being there and hanging in there through it and practicing through mm-hmm. it was just, not only was it just amazing to hear that story, but it was like it worked here too. It's like, oh, thank you.
You can get to that place of freedom with
it. Yeah, it really is amazing. And I also just watched a funny thing when the love letter was being talked about, because you know, I don't really have a whole thing going on with the love letter, but I don't really have that same kind of blissful success with it. You know, it's kind of like, okay, I read a love letter, you know. They all sound alice, and, you know, there's somebody that has a, not a big resistance to it, but just a kind of a low-level resistance mm-hmm. to it. And so when it was brought up, because I had, when the email class started, I always have someone who in the beginning of any kind of class, you know, this goes way back to school, I'm going to do it all, you know. I'm going to do A, B, and C. And then I went, oh, wait a minute. You were not going to do A, B, and C, because you will do it for about a day, and then you'll say, I can't do this, and you won't do any of it. So just stick with C, okay? Just one at a time. And then so I said, okay, well, then in December I'll do B, in January I'll do A, so that way I'll do them all. And, you know, I really thought that's a great idea, and I still do think it's a great idea, but when I just realized it, when the love letter was mentioned, somebody went, oh no, I don't want to do B&A because then I have to write a love letter. And the same thing happens whenever I start a 30-day retreat. I go, oh no, day 7, I have to draw sub-personalities. I don't like to draw sub-personalities. And it's like, then maybe I'm not going to do a 30-day retreat. You know, it's just so funny, you know.
So there's always that initial enthusiasm, and then there's the...
The yeah, but.
I can't do it.
But it's just funny to watch that come up, and it's like, yeah, there's that, you know?
It is helpful to hear how much alike we all are.
Mm-hmm. It is helpful, yeah, because I have that same kind of thing, you know, I'll be reading the email class responses, and you know, somebody will write this brilliant thing, and Sherry will say, oh, yeah, great, great work. And I'll go, how come they're all doing great work? You know, it's just the same thing, you know, it's the same as the person who didn't get an A in a class. I mean, it's the same as, God, I remember one job where, you know, we had these employee evaluations, and you got graded, you know, there were all these, you know, and I was always something right below whatever the top one was, and it made me so mad, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, you know, there she is again, you know. But it's one of those, it's not the content, it's the process.
Isn't it great to hear, I mean, when everyone shares and we hear all of this, to know that it doesn't have to be a reason to give up practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that we all you know, it's like, oh, wanting to quit on the seventh day of the 30-day retreat, someone else feels like that, and it means I don't have to give up, I can keep going, yeah. You know, yeah. So yeah. It's just good to hear that.
Yeah, it's such a, yeah, there's just, you know, there's just so many of those little beings in here who have their things going on, you know, and pop up every now and then, and I was just thinking, it was funny, I went through the whole Enneagram email class as a six, which I have a lot of fear in me, it made sense, but ever since then it's just become so apparent that it's like, how did I miss that I'm a one? I mean, it's like, how do I not know that being perfect does not drive everything that I do, you know? But it's just, you know, it takes as long as it takes to see it. Yeah. Anyway, it's fun when it's fun. Not when it's not.
And it's all just part of the, John Kabat-Zinn called it the whole catastrophe. It's just all to be brought into compassion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you.